It doesn't take an extraordinary experience to make health feel like an extraordinary blessing. Even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to the show. My guest today is Dr. Daniel Hedrick. He's the medical director and co-founder of Mission Pacific Coast Recovery. And we're talking today about the 90-day brain healing project. Welcome to the show, Dr. Dan. Explain to us a little bit about the brain and what is the 90-day brain healing project?
Well, I've been in addiction medicine for 27 years. And I've detoxed over 16,000 people. And what they're in for is a 90-day brain healing project. Every patient that I see is starting a 90-day brain healing project. They're not going to be stuck with the same brain they have for the rest of their life. Actually, if that was true, I probably wouldn't even do this job. People's mood center is going to come back. Their personality is going to come back. Their memory is going to improve. Their judgment center is going to improve. And technically, for the first 90 days, they're still under the influence of the alcohol and drugs that they've been taking. We could do functional brain scans on everybody when they first walk in. And you can see dark areas. And they're just dormant areas. They're not stroked, but there's just large areas of your brain that are just not doing anything, and they're dark. And a month later, they'll light up better. And 2 months later, they light up better. It takes usually about 3 or 4 months to have a functional brain scan that's the real person again.
Okay, so 90 days to heal. So you start with somebody who is under the auspices of having an addiction, whatever that addiction might be. What goes on in that 90 days?
Well, the first week or two is an intense detox where they need some medicines actually to prevent seizures and to try to help them sleep and kind of keep their mind sort of glued together because they're unraveling. But during the next 90 days, they need some guidance and structure, and they can't trust their own brain, you know, it gets better every week. You can feel it, but there's just this emotional roller coaster, and there's a lot of relapsing during the first 90 days. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, figured this out about 50 years ago. They were saying 90 meetings in 90 days, 90 meetings in 90 days, because they knew if they could get somebody through the first 90 days, things start to settle down. And now science is starting to see why. It takes 90 days to get a normal, a good-looking brain scan. Some of the healing actually goes on for years, but you don't notice it that much. And this is all new stuff. I went to medical school like 35 years ago. And it was UCLA, and they taught us if the brain gets injured, brain cell gets injured, pretty much permanent. If you didn't know that, you didn't know anything. It's completely wrong. I mean, we didn't have functional brain scans back then. These brain cells are acting like stem cells. I mean, they really can, if you take care of them and stay abstinent, and do the basic stuff that they taught us in like fifth grade, like just good quality sleep and a little bit of exercise and eating right, your brain can actually, you get your real brain back.
Now, our brains really can deceive us, can't they? I mean, certainly before that 90 days of healing and recovery begin, our brains have the ability to deceive us into thinking things that just aren't true.
Yeah, and it's a scary thing to admit that, because what you're saying is that patients have to trust us or somebody, and you can't trust your own brain, which is kind of a scary thing. And
it is scary.
And it would be nice to do a brain scan on everybody and show them the parts of the brain that are not running, because one of the key parts that actually gets hit first is the prefrontal cortex. It's like the CEO of your brain. It's the major judgment center of your brain. That goes down, and then you actually act like an adolescent. You're creating an adolescent brain in yourself when you're taking drugs. And you have this emotion center that's free to just go, 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 and you don't have a stop button.
You don't have a stop button. We all can have that ability to behave like the adolescent brain. How scary is that? And,
You
know, so that prefrontal cortex, that controls so much of our outburst, emotion. And if you are addicted to a particular substance, Dr. Dan, what then happens? Are there neurological changes that you can see in the prefrontal cortex that then after that 90 days you see dissipate?
Right. I mean, most of the brain scans look really good after about 90 days. But there's some healing that goes on. You can do memory tests on all my patients for 5 years, every year for 5 years, and their memory scores are going to improve.
Wow. And can there be, you know, I know that there certainly could be permanent damage, but if somebody goes through this, then do you see some things that just don't change?
That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, nobody gets away with this 100%. I mean, they're going to have some permanent damage, but that's the other thing the brain can do, is it actually can compensate. The good part of the brain can compensate for the part that's more permanently kind of stuck. But that takes a little bit longer to happen, but it happens.
Now, are certain types of addiction harder on the brain than others? When we look at opiates, look at adolescent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's a great question. Number one is ecstasy. The MDMA, the rave parties, it's a stimulant kind of mixed in with like a chemical that's like a hallucinogen. It's the hardest one for the brain to come back from.
That is very scary, because that is the one that you see so many of the kids and in clubs, and you know, you worry someone's going to drop one into your kid's coke at a party or something like that. Okay, so go on. What else? You've talked about ecstasy. What else is really hard on the brain?
Opiates have the worst track record for relapses. It imprints your craving center in a certain way if you're using it for months and years. It plays, those opiate craving tapes play in your brain months and years into your sobriety. So.
Now, what about something like cocaine? Because, you know, people, you hear about really severe, that turn into, I don't know, even crack cocaine and combinations and methamphetamines. And, you know, is that something that has a potential for, you know, to keep relapsing?
Yeah, and cocaine is a stimulant. All the stimulants are the hardest ones to bounce back from.
And where does alcohol, you know, lie
alcohol
on that?
Alcohol is a real messy one, too. Actually, alcohol, medically speaking, I'm a family doctor originally, that's the one that gives me a lot of work, because it shuts down so many systems, your immune system, your endocrine system, your liver, your kidneys, your lungs, your heart, your skin, your brain. You know, medically speaking, those are the toughest people. And they're actually, the insurance companies know this too, because they'll authorize inpatient treatment much easier for an alcoholic than almost any other drug, because they know that those people are medically compromised. And it's
now,
the legal one.
Now, you have, and I know that insurance companies are doing this, and it's affecting the healthcare really in this country, is the alcohol addiction problem. Now, you have the 90-Day Brain Healing Project. What would you really like people to know about this?
There's the treatment. There's the illness. It's a chronic, relapsing, life-threatening illness. There's no cure for it. And if you could just look at that and treat that with your loved ones or yourself, just like if you thought maybe they were diabetic or they had hypertension or chronic arthritis, you would probably get them to a doctor or make sure they would get an assessment. There's plenty of ways to get assessments. Actually, we do those for free, and sometimes just over the phone. But a lot of times the people have gone so far enough that their denial is just really rock solid. And the family members need the help of an interventionist, a professional. And there's some really good interventionists can work.
And Mission Pacific Coast Recovery, inpatient or outpatient, both?
Well, we have inpatient, outpatient. We have some people come there during the day, 7 o'clock in the morning to 8:30 at night. Some people come just at night. Most people need a 3-day stabilization. I feel like every addict needs a 3-day stabilization where we can really evaluate them and medically check things like for HIV and hepatitis C and do an EKG and see how they're eating and sleeping. And then they can go to a much lower level of care.
And there's the whole program that involves exercise, stress release, yoga, acupuncture. I mean, you use pretty much all the modalities, don't you?
Right. There's a physical part of this disease, there's an emotional part of this, and there's even a spiritual part, a connection with a purpose or a meaning, you know, with the world.
That is really great information, Dr. Dan. And in the last 20 seconds, give us your best advice for the 90-day healing project.
Well, I think that knowing that there is help and there's ability for your brain to repair and treat this like a regular disease, like hypertension, diabetes, and arthritis.
I think that that is key. You have to treat this like the disease that it is. Addiction crosses all genders and boundaries. So it's all about our loved ones, and that's certainly what it's about at Mission Hospital. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information on Mission Hospital, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission, the number for health.com. This is Melanie Cole. It's all about our health. Have a great day.